He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Hello to our listeners for this week's show of Car Keys, including Robin Leach, Jada Markin, and Michael Flint. I'd like to start off. It's summertime, 2025, when this show is done. It's hot. This is a good time for everybody to test. If they haven't already found out that their air conditioning systems are not working, they better find out quickly, because it's going to keep on. They're going to keep on being needed. That's it for air conditioning advice. I'm looking at some things in my latest edition, which is a week late, actually, of Automotive News, and I'm in Cars and Concept sections, and I'm reading about Chevrolet's next generation Bolt. The headline says EV adopts a familiar profile, which means a good thing, is which in my opinion, and I think Jay might agree, the original design frame of the Bolt, although it's been changed a little bit in the couple of times, or maybe it's only been one revision, has been a very good looking car and a very practical design for what its benefits for ownership would give the owner. So they, I guess they give you these camouflage views in these magazines. So you really, they put some kind of wrap on it and you can't really see the car itself, but you can see the profile of the vehicle. And anybody who has had a Bolt, I've never run into anybody that has not been very happy with their Bolt experience. Another car that I reported on several months earlier in this show was something called a Dodge Hornet, which was built in Italy. And I was very down on the vehicle. It came with a, I don't know why they designed it and brought it to the U.S., but I told the dealership that I do business with here, they weren't going to sell very many, especially if they were in chocolate brown color cloaking. I just recently made a many-hour trip between my summer place and here where I am for broadcasting. And I was on major highways, and I saw one Hornet the entire 210-mile distance that I was on that. And it was one that sort of passed me, and I passed it for many miles. It was in brilliant blue, and I will say that I liked that vehicle in that color much more so than the color I just mentioned earlier. It actually, I don't think they've sold very many, but production has been halted right now for the 2026 model. Anybody who knows what a Hornet is, don't go looking for one for 2026 because of the tariff situation. They are totally built in Italy. I don't know where all the components are, but and I don't know what the current tariff arrangement with Italy and the U.S. is. But
well,
find a new Hornet.
Well, there's a new negotiation on tariffs with the European Union now.
Oh,
so
they're going. I know, and we're not going to get into tariff discussion because it's,
well, yes, it matters.
Well, you brought it up.
It's an ongoing evolution, which changes by the month, if not the week, and the day.
Okay, so let me be blunt. Tariffs or not, the Dodge Hornet is a dud. But it just is. The sales have been slow.
No tariffs on duds, are there?
Well, tariffs, we know that the U.S. and EU have reached an agreement just over the weekend, I believe. And
that's what I was
flat
saying.
15% tax tariff will be applied to a lot of European products, including all the cars. So that's where we stand now.
It may come back in. Right. It may come.
But that doesn't necessarily pass along to the consumer either, though.
Well,
a fraction
right now,
of it,
but boy, it's going to. You can be sure that the costs of cars are going to go up, however they get passed on to the consumer, and wherever those cost price increases evolve from.
So we've said in the last few weeks that, you know, this is still a moving target and a guessing game, but you know, facts are slowly coming out. the sales, auto sales are down in the second quarter of this year, about 10% relative to compared to last year. I don't think, personally, I don't think it's a tariff situation necessarily, although tariffs certainly don't help.
Well, Jay, can I ask you a quick question on that? Is that per units or per dollars that they're down?
And obviously it makes a difference, but I think we're talking
units.
Actually, I don't know. But usually when we're talking sales in numbers, we're talking number of units.
Yeah, okay, yeah, because that's really important. The two are very, very different.
The only thing that really is important, let's get away from this stupid stuff about units. The only thing that is important is the electric car world, where all the rebates and all the benefits of buying electric cars is currently going to expire on September 30th. No longer will there be $7,500 credit tax credits on new or used or whatever, or numerically protected, at least at the moment. So that is really one thing that seems to not be changing in the ever-changing headlines that are affecting the car industry.
Well, different manufacturers have been...
Car, I know a particular person who is just trading in a 2024 BMW all-electric for a 2026, and he claims he's getting the last one that is tariff-free before the tariffs go into effect on all the other ones that will be coming in from Germany on this vehicle, and he's getting his tax credit and all that, and he's waiting for the dealer to call up to tell him that the car is off the boat. So he's affected by the deadline.
So what is he getting to replace
his BMW? He's replacing his BMW. I don't know what the model is for that all-electric, relatively large-looking SUV-style BMW, but he's replacing it with a new one.
Well, good for him. It's a great car.
It's a great car, exactly. He's doing that under the deadline looming for the loss of credits and loss of tariff protection vehicles no longer being available as inventory of those vehicles continues to sell ahead of new vehicles that aren't going to be tariff protected.
So interestingly, different manufacturers have reacted differently, and Hyundai and Kia, the Hyundai group, is actually banking on the fact that they will increase sales. They have actually, in the second quarter of this year, their sales have increased by 7 or 8%. And what they are doing is moving production of EVs out of the U.S. because actually right now they still import about 2/3 of cars or car parts that they are selling in this country. So they're moving production of the EVs out of the country, and they're going to focus on producing the vehicles that they do sell here quite a bit, like the Kia Telluride, their big SUV. So, but they're doing pretty well. Other manufacturers are taking a hit. I have not looked into detail, but I know there's been talk about the American U.S. manufacturers not being too happy about the tariff deal with Japan, that even though Japan is also getting hit with a 15% tariff on their cars, it seems to be that the American manufacturers are not going to really benefit from that. So again, we're back to the same conclusion. We'll see where this goes. But the market is down for cars anyway. That's the reality.
Well, interest rates are pretty high for financing purchases. So leases are really the way to go if you want to lower monthly payments, although you do have to put down, in some cases, quite a substantial down payment between, I would say, I'll just guess, $3,000 and $6,000, depending on the level of vehicle you're looking at. Cadillacs are higher with a down payment before you get a $700 or a $600 a month lease for 36 months. And limited miles. Watch your mileage. Limitations on these leases, listeners, if you're going to lease a vehicle. The advertisements for leases are interesting, but they are, you've got to listen to a phrase, low mileage lease limitation. And that to me is anything less than 10,000 miles a year. And some of the more luxury cars think you're not going to drive them more than 5 or 6,000 miles a year before you have to pay a stipend per mile I think it is, if you go over the lease limitation of whatever term you've leased your vehicle for, with very favorable leasing rates posted. Jay, you want to comment on that?
Not really. I mean,
okay. Fine, we can go on. I am raging early on our ranting department, if we are going to get to a department in our every week show.
No, I don't rant anymore.
The dearth of people using their turn signals is just is horrible. I was recently in a line of cars, and four cars in the line of probably I was in eight, and I was in behind, made right turns off of the main road, and nobody had their right turn signal on as they were leaving the main road. I just think it's appalling. Maybe the manufacturers should take off the turn signal option, and they could save a few cents on their production if they didn't provide turn signals.
No, speaking of, and to get off the rant and back to
another rant.
Content here. Tesla is coming out with the affordable car they've been talking about for years. I think pretty much right now, the big surprise is what it is a Tesla Y, which Robin, you would like, because it's stripped of every little bells and whistles that usually come with these cars. So basically it's a stripped down Y with the, you know, single motor, rear wheel drive, cloth seats. The joke was maybe we'll get steel rims and black bumpers. And a lot of the, again, all the gizmos taken out of the car.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a price for it, but I mean, that seems to be Tesla's latest and strategy.
Jay, this is very interesting. I am sometimes in favor of stripped down vehicles. I do have a couple of Jeep Cherokees, as regular listeners know. And my first Jeep Cherokee was a 2014. It was my first Jeep ever, and it came with cloth seats. It doesn't have lane departure or any of that thing. But I do find those cloth seats very, very comfortable. They are heated in the wintertime, but as I have said in other shows way back, leather is wonderful. Women like leather because it doesn't grab at the clothes and they can slip in and out. But leather gets hot in cars in the summertime heat that we are experiencing, and it's cold in the wintertime.
You know what I like?
Mitigated,
you know what
by I like the heating caliber.
And Robin, you know what I like about your basic Jeep is you went and got aftermarket steel wheels with no covers on.
And I know.
It really makes it look very basic.
And I've got more comments about how they like my wheels. I have the original wheels are in the garage with the original tires on them. And the tires are probably going to get dry out and crack before I ever put them back on. But I did. I put black steel wheels, an option for snow tires, basically all weather tires.
There are collectors and shops, specialized shops that sell old hubcaps.
I don't like hubcaps.
Well, we're going to find you a set of hubcaps.
Okay.
I think.
But back to the economy car of Tesla's producing. We're going the other way. The 2026 GMC Acadia gains a premium feature with a Denali Ultimate trim. So the prices go up and the prices come down. As generally, what is our average price per sale for car now? I think it's in the mid-40s now, which is the highest it's ever been on an annualized basis.
Yeah, it's going to get higher.
Nissan happens to have a few vehicles that are below $30,000. I don't know how basic their basic trims are to keep them at $29,995 or lower.
But who's Nissan?
Nissan... I don't know the lines of cars. I should be preparing if I'm going to make a comment like this by telling people what they can do. But, you know, you've been touting that they've been in problems staying alive. The Rogue is one of them, I believe. Jay, if you can find a base road, a Rogue, I think it's below $30,000 in one trim. But they have a sedan also, and a Sentra, I think, is one that's below $30,000. And Nissans aren't bad cars. I rented a Sentra, and we got very good mileage. It was a four-door sedan, and we got mileage in the 40 mpg range when I rented it. It was not a fully loaded one, but it did have leather seats and air conditioning and that kind of thing. But it was a very nice driving vehicle. So I don't have anything personally against the Nissan vehicles, other than, you know, they're not my they're not visually something that I seem to have in my pack of vehicles.
Well, that's the problem. Nobody seems to need a Nissan, and when you start finding brands almost exclusively in rental car fleets, you know the brand is going downhill. I don't mean here goes my negative side here, but that's where Mitsubishi went and still is, and nobody buys a Mitsubishi anymore.
But it's got a pretty good SUV. You know, I like the looks of that Mitsubishi SUV, and every time I see one, I say, what an attractive car. But you're right, numerically, it's not doing very well in the marketplace. So who knows how long it's going to be around, unless somebody buys it.
Right. So, anyway...
We want to continue our safety thing about bicyclists and shady road conditions. Those are other things to talk
about. Well, I think, okay, let's talk safety and road conditions. A couple things. In our area, we've seen a lot of road work this summer, and a lot of, you know, the we're getting ready, hopefully, to repave many of our roads. Right now, we've been scraping the top level of the previous coat of asphalt off. So we're having a lot of unmarked roads. We're having a lot of single lane and flaggers.
And you have to be careful because the flaggers are not very visual sometimes in the shady areas where they stand. And so keep going, Jay, because you hit it.
Yeah, I'm just saying overall, be careful. Beware of flaggers. They do a tough job, but also I never really trust them 100%. Try to look beyond the sign and make sure there's not the other guy giving the same sign for traffic coming the other way. What else? There are bumps and sharp objects in the road.
Not potholes. What are these things that are on the sewer lines in our local area? That are in the middle of
manholes.
Manhole covers. Thank you, Mike. Manhole covers. And last night, for example, I was down in my office into the darkness, and I could not see the. I went going home. I could not see the road very well. When cars are coming with their headlights on, and you have no road markings in the middle line, yellow lines or anything to tell you where you are. I felt like I was going through a slalom course on a ski slope, trying to miss the manhole covers that were in on Route 41 between the middle of Lakeville, which is everybody knows is listening here probably, up towards Sharon. Tortachka's school, and it was very difficult. I did hit one, and you know, every time you hit a real solid bump, you sit there and think, ooh, alignment issues. Alignment is not something that is that delicate, I've found over time, although you never know in the newer cars, but I think cars hold their alignment much more readily these days than they might have in the 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, cars, vehicles that were going. I have not found that I have needed an alignment in a long time in my Jeeps, for example. And you can tell whether you need it or not by various factors, such as tread wear, sidewall tread wear. If you let go of the steering wheel on a relatively flat piece, if there is such a thing on our highways these days, not canted automatically to drain water off, the car drifts one way or the other, and you have to correct that by grabbing the steering wheel. But back to the pavement situation, Jay, I laughingly think that the road between Sharon and our listeners might agree is in better condition in its current pre-pavement to be than it's ever been. It is smooth. There are no cracks. There are no bumps. Almost all the way to my office from where they started the repaving, pre-repaving stuff. And they ought to just leave it, except for the the manhole covers and the drains that are above it. I think they could just leave it that way and save their money and go pave elsewhere. Excuse me for interrupting you, Mike. But I'm ranting about Route 44 from Lakeville to Millerton. It is falling apart. And Jay, do you agree? Next time, all listeners should start driving from the lights in front of the boathouse in Lakeville and make sure they're close to the side bicycle lane marking and see how many bumps their right side of their car hits between Lakeville and the Millerton line. It is appalling. I don't think that pavement is 2 years old, there are depressions that are showing up. There are fissures in both lanes in many places that you see after a rainstorm, where the pavement is separating.
Okay, let's let Mike say what he had to say.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
No, I was just going to comment on the 41. They're starting down just shy of the center intersection at 44 and 41 in Lakeville, and then just randomly stopping out in the middle of nowhere instead of going all the way into Sharon. I'm just looking at this thing and going, so what's this? And you're right, too. Especially when you hit the New York side on 44 heading into Millerton, it is just unbelievable.
Somebody should be checking on that and doing something about getting it repaved at the paver's expense, be it the state or a private contractor. And that I have never seen a road deteriorate so quickly in my entire life of driving as this particular stretch is, Mike, and I'm glad you have noticed it as well. It's really, I don't know why it's falling apart or why it's separating. Or I don't know what's going on underneath. But
Well, I have bad news for you, Robin. I don't think it's going to be repaved in your lifetime.
Thank you, Jay. Everybody heard the prediction
that
of my lifetime.
Let's take bets on this now.
Yeah, right. Mike, do you have anything to talk about? We haven't let you talk too much today.
That's not unusual. But
Robin, since when do you let other people talk?
I've run out of stuff.
It's time to razz the host now, right, Jay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
No, I'm with you on the bicyclists and stuff, and also the people walking. And I had a very unusually odd experience this morning coming here, in that there was a person walking around along the road I'm on, and so I take the car out. So I'm basically lined up in the center of the road with the center of the hood, and this person suddenly stops and starts pushing their hands out like I'm supposed to go all the way to the other side of the road so they can walk. It's like, really?
First of all, were they facing you as they should have been?
Facing me, and I gave them more than plenty of room. They weren't that big. The guy was like a toothpick, but he just was somehow just aggravated by the fact that I wasn't driving over in the bushes or something. Unbelievable.
Well, he's listening to this show and knows who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's why I don't say exactly what road it was on.
I will say that walking our roads, especially the state highways between here and Hotchkiss School, for example, which are walked often by students during the school year, but we have some summer school going on there too, can be particularly distracting. We should be keeping our focus, along with watching for the traffic control people, the walkers that are walking in the shady areas.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out on the town roads too, where there is limited space. Mm-hmm. And I've seen one of the things you were talking about, where they're walking side by side, and they hear or see the vehicle coming, but they refuse to go into a single file. The vehicle's supposed to get out of their way.
That's true. So much for that rant. That's a good rant for everybody who walks on roads to listen to and behave properly when you're walking on the road.
Well, several things come into play here. I do think we need to share the road. I'm perfectly fine with you know, I both slow down and go as far to the center or away from pedestrians or cyclists as I can. But yeah, don't bully me and be smart. You know, mostly be smart. The problem I have with pedestrians who've never driven, they don't necessarily, like young people, like students, like school children and young adults who've never driven, don't realize, you know, how drivers see things or don't see things or what they can do or cannot do. And let's not forget the smaller object or person in a collision is the one that's going to get hurt. So it's just smart. As a pedestrian, I'm always watching. I'm paranoid. I don't trust anybody on the road. Okay. And moving on to other safety things.
I've got one when you're ready.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we haven't talked much about all the deer, you know, jumping left and right. And when you travel in and around New York City, like on the Hutch or the any one of those parkways, the 20th generation of deer living in that area know the traffic rules and know not to cross traffic. And they're grazing happily alongside the parkways and you can drive 60 miles an hour. But up here, they're not so smart and they tend to jump in front of us. And the only people who really, benefit from that are the people who fix the front end of the cars.
That's true. But I have a safety thing for superhighway driving because I experienced it.
Where did you see superhighways?
Well, I mean I-95 and the Mass Pike and that kind of thing. Periodically clog up in urban sections at almost any time of any day and become a nuisance. When you're driving along at 75 miles an hour, you see a line of cars ahead with brake lights going on. And
too many people go to the beach.
And it doesn't matter which direction you're going. It's both ways. The problem is what is going on behind you, and are people behind you alert the way you may well be about what is happening ahead? And I've started putting on my flashers almost immediately when I know I'm going to start braking hard. So that the people behind, because people don't stay what is the so-called safe distance behind you. Every 10 miles an hour faster, you're supposed to be so many hundred feet further behind the car. That doesn't take anybody. Nobody does that. So the worst thing can be done that can happen is a rear end collision because somebody wasn't paying attention and they ram into you and they push you into the car ahead. Yada, yada, yada. So I'm using flasher information besides my brakes, my braking lights on these roads. And let me tell you, to the road I'm talking about, which is 95 in Connecticut and into Massachusetts, which is it's like an accordion of a road of speed problems and control as you don't know when it's going to happen. Although Waze, Jay, you know Waze. It's very informative. If you're using Waze as a travel guide, they often tell you that there's something ahead and you better get off and take side roads. Everybody's traveling in between, I think the standard, I don't think the enforcement speed in Connecticut right now is below 80, below 80 miles an hour. If you even see state police activity along the road.
Hey, new state law in Connecticut. I don't know what it's called. It's no hogging the left lane.
But who's enforcing these laws?
That was one of the comments in the article I read.
I keep thinking I'm having an imaginative discussion with the governor of our state who sits in and says, well, we're tired of people going down the roads 100 miles an hour and you're going to get tickets and all this. There's nobody enforcing the roads in numbers enough to do any of this enforcement advice that is being put out in the press.
All right. Well, having said that, I'm going to enforce the time limit. So, Robin, take us home.
Well, I hope we've entertained some of our listeners in this week's show, and we'll be back to talk to you next week. And until then, it's Jay, Mike, and Robin on Car Keys.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.